I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things. But we really, really, really like to self-care for yourself.
What did you do this week? Oh my god, yes.
Thank you.
Yes. This week for self-care, what did I do? I hung out with my friend Mandy. So she's like my mom friend. And we went to a park that has like a train, so we took the boys on a train.
You should play her Mandy by Barry Manilow.
Okay, is it weird? Is that a weird song
to play to my friend? No, it's a really nice song. My mom almost named my sister Mandy because of that song.
Just Mandy, not Amanda.
Listen, I asked that question because you're asking the real questions, okay. And that's one of them.
But yeah, so we had like a nice little like play date, and it was sunny and beautiful, and we got to pet baby cows and baby alpacas.
Stop.
And a pig.
What like is with you pig? And petting animals and you're not calling me about it?
Okay, it's so fun.
We have each other's contact information.
Next time you want to go to this park, I'll tell you. And yeah, there's lots of cute animals there.
I mean,
I
can bring my child. Alpacas. She's kind of mean and she barks.
No, but she can't come.
Well, that's my child.
What was the other one? Oh, there were goats, too.
Were they feigning goats?
They didn't faint when we were there, so.
But you know what I'm talking about. Those ones crack me up when somebody's just like, bah! And they're just like stiffen and then fall over, so.
I don't know. No one made like loud noises, so perhaps.
No screaming to pop music.
I don't know. So yeah, that's what I did. What did you do?
This week for self-care, I hung out with Jess and she was giving me some tea on what's going on in her life.
Love the tea.
Yeah. Love the tea. Love the drama. Hate the people that are causing it though.
Yeah. That's why I watch reality TV. Cause like, I don't know any of these people.
I've been watching the new season of 90 Day Fiancé, The Last Resort.
How's that going? It's so cringe. Like, it's so cringe.
I need you to watch it. The newest season. Because there's one girl who's causing all these problems. And she's just like, he's just not standing behind me talking about her husband.
Is she American?
Yeah.
It's always the American.
It's Sarper. Sarper and Shekinah.
What? What's her name?
Shekinah.
Shekinah?
One of the people was like, it's like vagina. Well, okay, she's just like causing drama. Okay. And he's just like not supporting her because she's being over the top. Like one girl's like, why did you stop following me on Instagram? And the girl's like, I don't know what happened. And she's like, is that your final answer? Is that the answer you're gonna give me? And I'm like watching this and I'm like, oh, that's why he's not supporting you, because you're insane.
Where's he from?
Turkey.
Okay.
He's the one that Eric loves. He's a douche canoe, but he like did stand up. Me and Katie were going to go see him before the wedding, but she was like kind of running into like a lot of plans and stuff. So we like ended up not seeing him, but she kind of like, your entire stand up career is like hating on me. And I'm like,
yeah, it's not hard.
You probably give him a lot of material. I used to like her, okay, but like,
you watched Summer House. And I'll get you caught up.
I know all about the Amanda and Sierra but and Kyle and West drama. You need to know
the backstory of like the history of the friendships, of the marriage.
Aren't you proud I know that, at least?
I am.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everywhere. So I'd be shocked if you didn't know.
Well, I listen to it on the radio. They give updates all the time, so.
On the radio?
Yeah.
Oh.
105.9.
Oh, really? Okay.
In the morning on my way to work.
Huh.
I even was like, oh, now I know things about this show that I've never watched. I thought you said Summer House wasn't worth watching.
Summer House is like...
I swear that's the one you said. You're like, don't watch it.
I think Winter House is kind of like... But Summer House, I definitely watched like... I didn't start at the very beginning. I think I watched like maybe from season 3 or something.
Yeah.
It's basically just like watching people party. And it's kind of funny and ridiculous.
I mean,
but that's like my show I watch when, because like Housewives comes out in the winter. Like they release all the seasons in the winter because they film in the summer.
Yeah.
So then I don't have anything on Bravo to watch. Although now I have Below Deck, so that's good. But Summer House was like my kind of like, well, I need some reality TV, but I don't want to like
rewatch stuff.
Yeah, rewatch stuff or get like too invested.
Yeah.
So it was like my sort of placeholder. But then it started getting better because like Amanda and Kyle's relation, I was like, yikes, why are you married?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes art imitates life.
Yeah. So, it's interesting. I don't know.
The relationship I saw end needed to end. And I'm so happy
Sure needed to end. But they also now have the city. You're like in the city or something?
In the city.
So, it's all the same people. Because they're all like, basically like, well-off, single, no kid, like, New Yorkers who go to the Hamptons for the summer, and they all get like a group house and they all party together, which seems so fun to do with like all your closest friends.
We should do that.
Right? And then,
but like, now, minus the cheating scandals.
Yeah, minus the cheating scandals. And then now they're filming in the city, so it's like all of them during the fall, like when they're like in their home in New York, which is also interesting. And I also like hate this one guy that's on there, and I'm like, you're a narcissist, like
seek help.
Yeah, pretty much. Run, Whitney. Anyways,
Whitney, what are you even doing?
Why did you move from LA to fucking New York for this guy? He sucks.
If I had to live in LA or New York, I'd pick LA.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No offense to New York, they sound great. I just don't driving. Like
trash.
Yeah. I'm trash can smell good. I'm just kidding. All right, what are you going to tell me about this week?
Anyways, okay. So remember like a few episodes ago, I did like some women who were like basically like fighting against Nazis, and they like went to the opera and they would like help the Jewish
Cook
people.
Cook sisters?
I believe it was the Cook sisters. And they like would basically like use their identity of being like spinster sisters to like,
I suggested kind of my sister listen to that episode.
Oh, because did she?
She listened to the beginning of the boy band Fraudster, because I told her we talk about NSYNC, and her and my brother really enjoyed it.
Okay.
And I was like, did you listen to the episode? She's like, ugh. And I'm like, listen, you gotta support this somehow. But I told her, I said, listen to the Cook sisters. I was like, no one dies.
Yeah.
I was like,
they're like saving people.
Yeah.
So, I also had mentioned in that episode that there are other sisters who are famous for the resistance against the Nazis.
You and me could be famous sisters.
Yeah, I mean, we could.
Sister.
So, I'm going to tell you about the Dutch teenagers who killed Nazis.
Love it.
So good. It's so good.
Ugh.
Oh, I love them. Okay, so when World War II started in 1939, Dutch girls Hanny Schaft, who is 18, and sisters Truus and Freddy Overstegen were 16 and 13 years old.
The girl's name is Freddy.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of love that. Cute? I love that.
Oh, this story is so good. So, never underestimate women, because these young ladies would form a trio that was deadly and heroic. It's so fucking good. So, they would become famous for their work in the Dutch resistance.
And I'm sorry, how old were they?
18, 16, and 13 when the
maybe you hadn't gotten war to that started. Part, but
and then when they joined the resistance, they're 19, 17, and 14. Okay. So, in the book written by Sophie Poldermans titled Seducing and Killing Nazis.
Why is this just getting better?
It gets so good.
As you go on, seducing? Yes.
Killing?
Yes. Even better.
Okay. So, Truus, she's the older sister. she recalled what it was like in Amsterdam as the Nazis started flooding the streets, basically invading the Netherlands.
I'm sure that was so scary.
Right.
Just like, you're like, oh, cool. Everything I know is like ending.
Yes. Yeah, so she said, quote, "While I was biking, I saw Germans picking up innocent people from the streets, putting them against a wall and shooting them. I was forced to watch, which aroused such an enormous anger in me, such a disgust, a feeling of dirty bastards. You can have any political conviction or be totally against war, but at that moment, you are just being human. And you're confronted with something very cruel."
Can I say I love that she was angry, not scared?
Hell yeah. "Shooting innocent people is murder. If you experience something like this, you'll find it justified to act against it." She gets up.
Immediately.
And I feel like there's just, like, why I feel so passionate about this story is because it lands so close to home. Like, there's a lot going on with ICE. There's a lot of things happening where people are being murdered. People are just getting away with shit, and there's no justice, and it's not fair. And it's like, no one's doing anything. Like, our entire government isn't doing shit because it is our government.
Do you remember in school, they're like, history will
repeat itself.
Do you? Okay. And then we're at that time, like, what are you talking about? Like, we're in a better spot.
Are we?
Right now. Well, I'm talking about the 2000s. We were like, oh, what are you talking about? History's not going to repeat itself.
I'm talking about right now.
Right now, it is repeating itself. And I find that so, but I'm like, you know, like 2000s, like, it's not going to, but like,
here we are.
Guess what? We have better technology now. And here we are repeating ourselves.
Yeah. And so it just like kind of resonates because I'm like, yes, I understand that like deep rooted rage of like, there are injustices being performed right before our eyes. And we're just supposed to be like, that's what happened. Like, no, I don't want to accept that.
Mom.
So anyways, these girls.
If you have money, you can do whatever you want, apparently.
Apparently that's how America works. Yeah. So these girls are just an inspiration. Like, they accomplished a lot.
From such a young age.
Yeah. So the Oversteegen sisters, again, that's Truce and Freddie. They started handing out anti-Nazi pamphlets.
And these are the older two.
This is the, so the oldest one is Hanny, and she is their friend. She will be their friend
okay.
once they join.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, that's helpful. But, so the sisters.
But Freddie and Truce are sisters.
The 14 and 16-year-old? Or 18-year-old?
No, they were 14 and 17 at this
okay,
point.
Okay, sorry. All right.
So they're seeing all this, they're absorbing it, and they're like, what the fuck? They start handing out anti-Nazi pamphlets, which attracted the notice of Harlem Council of Resistance commander Franz van der Weel. This guy's in charge of the resistance, okay? He's like top gun.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's like, okay, these girls could be good. He goes to their house, and to test their eligibility to join the resistance, he pulled out a gun on the two girls, pretending to secretly be the Gestapo. When he demanded the address of a Jewish man, Truce and Freddie refused to give it to him and instead physically fought back. So he's like, all right, you guys pass the test. You're good.
Love it.
He's like, so you want to join the
but
resistance?
But so scary too. But like, oh my God, scary.
And they were like, Mom, can we join the resistance? And their mom was like, okay. So they literally had to get, like, their mom's consent.
That is so... I love that the mom also was like, okay.
And so they were raised by a single mom, and she was also, like, before the parents got divorced, they had been, like, helping Jewish families as well. So, like, the girls had this, like...
Oh, so they had, like, good examples.
Sense, yeah, good examples to live by. They had really great morals. They're just all-around good people. So they joined the resistance. At this point, it's 1940. Freddie was 14. Truce is 17. Then, meanwhile, Hanny Shaft was 19 at this time.
Yeah.
She joined the resistance as well because she's like, I'm so fucking over this.
Did they know each other before they joined the resistance? Oh, okay. Okay.
So
okay.
She had been going to the University of Amsterdam to become a human rights lawyer. Human rights lawyer. So she also had a very like strong sense of justice. She had like made some really good friends in college who were Jewish.
Yeah.
And she like loved these girls. They were like her best friends.
Are not our enemy.
And so she's seen you know, all these atrocities happen. She's seen her friends' rights being taken away. She's seen people being killed before her eyes. And she's like, fuck this.
Yeah.
So on May 9th, 1942, when Jewish people were forced to self-identify with a yellow star on their breast, Hanny started stealing identity cards for them. So she'd sneak into locker rooms, public swimming pools, movie theaters, like anywhere she could, and retrieve wallets from strangers. And she'd just take their IDs and give them to the Jewish people that she's trying to help so that they could be like, yeah, I'm not Jewish. Here's my ID.
Yeah, I'm Todd Johnson.
Yeah. So basically, she would help them to identify as not Jewish, and then eventually they could kind of get with organizations to get other further like fake paperwork so that they could like then get out.
It's amazing what she's doing, but it is a big risk,
a huge risk
having IDs on her.
Huge risk. If the Nazis caught you, like, you'd be dead.
Yeah, they have no qualms about they shooting don't care. People. Yeah.
So in 1943. University students were required to sign a declaration of allegiance to the Nazis. But Hanny was like, fuck you. And she refused to sign, along with 80% of other students.
Would it shock you if and they tried to do that now?
No. Because like of that, scary. She wasn't allowed to continue her studies.
Well,
fine, don't take my money. So eventually, she ended up hiding her two best friends, those two girls that she had met in college who were Jewish. She hid them in her own family home and, like, got them to safety.
Thank God. But big risk.
Huge risk, like, to her and her family.
Yeah.
Okay, so all three girls at this point, they've joined the resistance. And this is where Hanny Shaft meets the Oversteegen sisters. So the resistance had grouped the girls together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, Hanny knows how to speak German and English fluently.
That's so helpful.
So you need to teach the Oversteegen girls how to also speak German and English. And then they also gave them shooting lessons. Fucking sick. Yeah. So this is where they become friends and this like unstoppable trio. Freddie, Truce, and Hanny were committed to fucking up the military's plans.
See, I think if you have a passion for this kind of thing, you're only going to become friends.
100%.
Because it's such a big passion, and it's like, it's something pretty dangerous.
And it's something that needs to be done.
Absolutely. But I'm just saying, like, obviously,
their morals are very much aligned, and I think that's
how you
create connection. That's kind of how you make friends, right? Yeah. It was, like, based on things you like, and, like, you kind of have the same thinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the girls would blow up bridges, railroad tracks with dynamite.
Okay.
Fucking
all love. Right.
They helped Jewish children escape concentration camps by getting them out of the country.
Oh.
And my personal favorite, they would lure high-ranking Nazi soldiers into the woods and kill them. I put hee hee.
Because they were going to be like, hey, want to come into the woods?
Yeah.
Goodbye.
You're dead.
Yeah. Like, bang.
Okay, so Freddie, Truce, and Hanny's their first assignments were to go to the taverns at night. And obviously the Nazis had invaded. So they would go to the taverns. They'd start, they would have like targets, right? So the resistance would give them, okay, here's this guy. He's a high ranking guy. That's your target. This is what he looks like. This is who you're pursuing. So they'd give him like people that they were going after, right?
Yeah.
So they'd go to the taverns, locate their target, and they'd be like, oh my god, you're so handsome. Ugh, whatever. Well,
you remember Mean Girls? She's like, you gotta get rid of like her friends. Like, you gotta knock down all the pegs.
Yes.
That's how you overthrow them.
Exactly. So. And so, you know, they get all like cutesied up, whatever. And they're young, right? So, like.
So they're obviously beautiful.
And very much like they're not suspecting that these young girls are like plotting their murder.
Yes. Never
so good.
Never suspect the ones who look different. I don't know.
The
don't
innocent know. Ones, right?
Yeah.
So they'd get them interested. They'd flirt with them. They'd get them kind of like drunk a little bit. They'd be like, ooh, like, let's take drinks. Let's take shots. Like, you know, get them a little like tipsy. And then they'd be like, oh my God, should we go for a stroll in the forest? And they'd be like, Because they're thinking they're going to fucking get lucky.
Because I am hot. I can't do a German accent.
I'm not even gonna
embarrassing.
Try.
I don't know where it's...
So they would go to the wood. They'd like get them out of earshot from the tavern, right? They'd go to the forest. It's dark. And so like one of them would lure them there. The other two or other people from the resistance would be waiting to fucking kill them. So good. So good.
Think about the worst best from killing Nazis.
Fucking Nazis, yeah. Okay. So amazing. Freddie was also the first of the trio to shoot a Nazi while riding her bike. Talk about multitasking.
Women in STEM. Love it.
I love it for her.
And I love us. That.
Truce recounted an incident where she came... Oh, okay. I hate this story, but I had to tell it because it's like...
Well...
This is the type of shit because it's all like... I don't want to, like, romanticize, like, yeah, they're killing Nazis. Like, it sounds very, like, fuck the man, all this stuff. But we also have to realize that there's a lot of trauma behind what these very young
they
girls
were walking
were
into
and
a
doing.
City and shooting people. And these girls just saw it in plain daylight. We're not talking about, like, this group of people who maybe are misunderstood. We're talking about, like...
Yeah. And just the realities of the cruelty of... what Nazis did.
Yeah.
So Truce recounted an incident, trigger warning, because this does have to do with a baby, where she came across a Dutch SS soldier brutally killing a baby while forcing the father and sister to watch.
No.
And I'm not going to tell you, like, I just cut the part out because, like,
we don't need to know. We just know it's happening.
Killing a baby in itself is, like, fucked up. Like, if you want to look up what he was doing, you can look it up.
Yeah. We don't like to give gross stuff. We're not torture porn people.
But
like
she said, quote, "I shot the guy right there and then. That wasn't an assignment, but I don't regret it."
Was he successful in killing the baby?
"We were dealing with cancerous tumors in society that you had to cut out like a surgeon."
Yep.
"That is the cruelty of war." So, obviously, like, no one in the resistance was like, "Oh, you killed someone out of the assignment." Like, he was killing a baby.
That to me is, all of them
family watch
are valid, but that is just,
it's heinous,
evil, like
so evil.
Like, evil isn't even the right word. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like
worse than
beyond.
Evil.
Like, why? It's just
like,
so
you're
gross.
Not just like being disgusting. You're like, you
doing
have to watch
it for
this.
The cruelty of it. Like,
yes, and I'm sure he's gonna kill them after too.
Yeah. So. Truce and Hanny had multiple assassination assignments together. So October 25th, 1944, they had an assignment where they were planning to kill a policeman and Dutch Nazi guy named Fokke Christ. But some other resistance fighters got to him first. So they were like, we don't have to do that one. Then on March 1st, 1945... there was another Dutch Nazi police officer that they were assigned to kill. His name was Willem Zerkzee. And
Zerkzee is a name.
They successfully executed him. It was like teamwork. And then on March 15th, 1945, they wounded an officer who worked for the Secret Service, the SS. But he survived and got away. But they tried. Anyways, so Hanny was tasked with assassinating specific targets, like obviously Nazis, but also people who were like in cahoots with them, like who were associated with them or who were doing business with them or who were like, I don't know, basically just like anything that was helping them along.
Yeah.
They were like, well, fuck you too. We're killing you.
Yeah.
So she would seduce German soldiers. She kind of like went up from like taking people to the woods to now she was kind of like, oh, we're like lovers or like whatever. Like, I don't think she ever like slept with anyone, but she would like kind of under the guise of like a romantic relationship be like, oh, we're involved. And then before facing her targets, she'd get all dolled up. So she'd put on her makeup, she'd style her hair. And she once explained to Truce, "I'll die clean and beautiful." I was like, okay. Girl.
Girls who know what they want.
Mm-hmm. So Hanny accomplished many, many assignments, but she didn't accept them all. There is one instance where she was asked to kidnap the children of a Nazi official, and she refused.
Well, yeah, we don't do that. Don't involve children.
Because if the plan had failed, the children would have to be executed. And she was like, that's exactly what they do. Like, I'm not stooping to their level. I'm not killing children. I'm not being cruel just to be cruel, even though, like, that's what they do.
We'll leave it to them to do the cruel stuff. We don't do that
back. Like, we can kill adults, but I'm not, like, killing kids. Like, they're not. No. They're innocent. They don't have anything to do with this. It's not their fault their parents suck.
See, that's how I am too. I'm like, why would they need to do that?
So she was like, no, I'm not doing that. Hanny was identified one time, like she was assassinating someone and there was a witness who saw her and she had red hair. So they started calling her the girl with the red hair. And this is what she was known as.
So deep.
So deep. So fucking specific. And the girl with the red hair was placed on the Nazis' most wanted list. Like, literally so many people have red hair.
Okay, relax.
You dumbass.
Whenever I say relax, I think of you saying it. So, like, sometimes people are being dramatic, and I'm like, relax. Relax. And, yeah, and then I, like, hear you in my head. I'm like, she's with me right now.
So, yeah, they're like, we need this girl with the red hair. And it's like, okay, that could be literally anyone, but sure. So on June 21st,
5 members of my family have red hair,
like
numerous.
And I don't know. It's just so like nonspecific. On June 21st, 1944, Hanny and a friend of the resistance, they had like a bit of a close call.
And this was close to the end of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Jan Bonenkamp and Hanny were set to carry out an assassination.
What was that last name?
Bonenkamp. Bonenkamp.
Okay.
They're supposed to kill this Dutch police officer and, like, Nazi collaborator. And Hanny shot first. She hit the police officer in the back. He's still alive. He shoots Jan in the stomach. And then Jan shoots the police officer and kills him. So Jan fled the scene, but he was arrested shortly afterwards and taken to the hospital where he ultimately died from his wound. But before he died, he accidentally gave Hanny's name and address to Dutch Nazi nurses who were pretending to be resistance workers. So obviously he didn't know.
I know.
And he thought they were on his side. So then Hanny's, like, compromised. So they know where her family lives, and in an effort to get her to confess, the Nazis arrested her parents and sent them to a concentration camp. So she's freaking out.
Yeah, I would too.
She stopped her resistance work temporarily to, like, lay low. Obviously, she's...
I totally, I get it.
Grieving the death of her friend who was in the resistance with her, Jan.
Yeah.
And then her parents have just been sent to a concentration camp. Like, that's terrifying.
She's got a lot going on.
And they're looking for her. So, eventually, her parents were released from the concentration camp for... I'm not even sure why they released them, but it was after 9 months.
That must have been the longest 9 months ever.
And she, like, couldn't take any risks by going to see them, right?
So, because... Yeah.
Then potentially they could catch her.
Well, and if they throw her in there, how are they going to get her out, you know?
Exactly. So she's like, I can't risk seeing them. So she just kind of had to, like, be on her own. So eventually she started her resistance work again after that 9 month kind of block.
Yeah.
And she started using disguises this time. So she would dye her hair black. And then she would wear glasses. And she honestly looked like a totally different person. Like,
I've dyed my hair black and worn glasses. And you, like, look different.
You
and
do. I have
dark brown hair, but.
So on March 21st, 1945, Hanny Shaft was arrested while transporting secret documents for the resistance. She was interrogated endlessly. She was tortured and also put into solitary confinement.
She was caught by Nazis? Of course.
She admitted to her work with the resistance and was eventually identified as the girl with red hair because her red roots were showing. After Hanny was arrested, the resistance assumed that she'd been imprisoned at one camp, and so, disguised as a German nurse, Truce tried to free her friend. So she would, like, go to this camp and be like, basically tell this story that, like, she needed to take Hanny for a medical examination. She cried a lot trying to convince people that, you know, she needed to take her, all this stuff, but little did she know, one, Hanny was not imprisoned in this particular camp that they thought she was, and two, at this point, she had already been executed.
Oh, Hanny was executed?
So, Dutch Nazi officials...
I don't know why I'm shocked. Like, I'm surprised they didn't do it sooner.
Yeah. The Dutch Nazi officials executed Hanny on April 17th, 1945. Ugh. Only 3 weeks before the war ended.
I was about to say that was right before the war ended.
And it is said that her executioner shot her in the head at close range. However, the bullet only grazed her. The lore goes, although it is not confirmed and it might be like a poetic license, she allegedly told him, "Idiot, I shoot better." After which, he shot her once more in the head, this time killing her.
Oh, I love that she got an insult in, though.
Right. So after the war, the remains of 422 members of the resistance were found in the same place where Hanny was executed. She was the one woman. The rest of them were men. On November 27th, 1945, Hanny was reburied in a state funeral at the Dutch Honorary Cemetery. Members of the Dutch government and the royal family attended, including Queen Wilhelmina, who called Hanny Schaft the symbol of resistance.
Oh,
a bronze monument was also erected for Hanny in Haarlem, which is the city where she was born. And after her death, she received the Dutch Cross of Resistance, which she's only one of 95 people who've ever received that award.
Yeah.
She was also awarded the Resistance Memorial Cross, and General Eisenhower awarded her the Medal of Freedom.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Right? The last Sunday of each November in the Netherlands is a day of remembrance for her life and work. Okay. So after the war, the two sisters survived.
Yeah, I was about to say.
They dealt with a lot of trauma, obviously, from like killing all these people.
Seeing all this stuff, yeah.
Losing their very, very dear friend. And they never revealed how many Nazis they killed. They said thousands. That they were soldiers. Soldiers don't say.
Love it.
And by today's standards, it seems from like the symptoms and what happened with them, like they would have like horrifying nightmares. They'd wake up screaming and fighting and like reliving these awful experiences.
Yeah.
And so like, I don't think in the time they knew what to call it, but by today's standards, it would probably be PTSD.
Yeah. Understandably so. Even if you're doing the right thing, it doesn't alleviate the trauma that comes with it.
The fact that you're killing other humans. Yeah. So Freddie had recalled a time where she shot a man and she had to like hold back the like immediate urge to help him.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, oh no. Like, and like how fucked up is that? Like,
yeah,
you're killing someone and then like you still have this humanity within you that wants to help.
Because it's a person.
Because it's a person.
Yeah.
So, after the war, Truce married. She had 4 kids and the oldest she named after Hanny.
Oh, I love that.
Right. Truce expressed herself in art. She shared her story through speeches. Like, she would go to universities and secondary schools and talk about war, anti-Semitism. They have
so much to learn from her.
Yes. So much to learn from her. So much. And then she also wrote a book about her experiences during the war called Not Then, Not Now, Not Ever, which was published in 1982. On May 10th, 1967, Yad Vashem, which is Israel's official memorial institution to the victims of the Holocaust.
Okay.
So it's dedicated to preserving the memory of the Jews who were murdered, telling their stories of survivors, and honoring the Jews who fought against Nazi oppressors and the people who weren't Jewish, but also, like, helped the Jewish people.
And this is in 1967?
1967. So this particular institution, Yad Vashem, they gave... Excuse me, sorry. I'm like, where's my place? They recognized truce as the... Oh, no, excuse me. They recognized Hani as righteous among the nations, which is an honor used by the state of Israel to describe all the non-Jews who basically, like, helped.
Yeah, I love that.
After or on her 75th birthday in 1998, Truce was invested as an officer of the Order of Orange Nassau for her services. So this is like a civil... and military Dutch order of chivalry. So it's like a pretty like high
yeah, honor. It sounds like it.
Truce died at the age of 92 on June 18th, 2016.
Wow.
This is how like not far.
No.
Not that long ago this no. was. Like.
No. If she was alive, she'd be like 102.
We've lived People in the have same lived. Time as her.
That's insane. And, like, actively lived at the same time. Not like she died, like, when we were babies. Born, like, she died when we were in our 20s.
Yeah. Okay, so Freddie Overstegen, she married, she had three children, and then she served as a board member on the National Hani Shaft Foundation, which her and her sister had established. So this foundation... was basically like a nonprofit that was dedicated to preserving the legacy of World War II, and how Hani was such an icon mm-hmm. for the resistance of World yeah. War II and resisting the Nazis. It promotes ideals of freedom, equality, and resistance against fascism and injustice. In 2014, Freddie and Truce were awarded the Mobilization War Cross, which is basically like a Dutch medal that is awarded to people for their service in World War II.
Yeah.
There's also a street named after her in Harlem. And Freddie died on September 5th, 2018 in a nursing home just one day before her 93rd birthday.
Ah. But so they both lived to be 92. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's the story of the three incredibly brave girls who stood up for justice and human rights. And as Truce put it, even when the work is hard, you must always remain human.
Oh, I love that. I hate that what happened to Hani, but I like... know.
But she died for the cause. Like, and she, they all knew that that was... a very big possibility.
Yeah. I mean, you don't go into this, like, things are going to be great. Like, it's,
you have to, like, sacrifice yourself, your life.
Yeah.
For the lives of others and for what's right in the world.
Yeah, this could be the end, but, wow, that's crazy. But what a good story, like.
Yeah. So, be like those girls. I don't know. Like, I feel like how do you get involved in shit like that nowadays? You know?
Yeah. It's easier to identify people. Like, they can do costumes. You can do disguises. You can just say your name's blah, blah, blah. But nowadays, there's so many different...
Yeah. So, anyways, it's inspiring. It's amazing. Like, fight fascism.
Try to. Do what you can.
Yeah. Do what you can. Every little yeah. thing counts. Every little thing matters. But I just find it so, like, inspirational.
Some action is better than no action.
Yes.
So, but we'll post pictures of the girls on our Instagram. That's going to be Mysterious Mavens Pod, just on Instagram.
And if you have any suggestions for stories, or you want to like tell us your self-care routine,
if you give us a story suggestion, we'll do it. Like,
mm-hmm. we've done suggestions.
Yeah, we've done a lot of suggestions.
But yeah, so email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
We're also on Facebook and TikTok, but like there's nothing on there, so
excuse me.
Add it if you want to. Maybe make the group fun.
Yeah. But yeah, until next time, self-care yourself.
Yeah, self-care for yourself.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.